It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good morning. Happy Tax Day. Yes, it's April the 15th. A day many dread. I actually did all my quarterly estimates this time, so I do not owe money. That's just a relief right there. You always feel better about that. I'll tell you what I feel good about. The Tigers picked up two pieces yesterday. The NBA play-ins were exciting. You know, it's amazing when these guys play hard, when there's really something involved, how good these games can be, how interesting the skill level and excitement is, because there's definitely a different level. Say what you want to, especially with a third of the league tanking, a third of the game of the games. Wow, what a difference it is to watch these guys play hard. And in just a little bit, we will make our golf picks. It was all Greg Hines this first week with the Masters. Of course, you pick Rory, you get $4.2 million right off the bat. So that's a pretty good deal. They are on their way to Harbortown. We'll make picks and talk some golf when we reach our final segment. So the University of Memphis, within an hour, picked up two players. And in all honesty, I don't believe these are the big name or big names that you're going to see. They get first a kid from Washington State named Richards Vavers, who's a 6'7 wing, top 30 three-point shooter in the country last year at Washington State. Made 11.5 points, 4 rebounds a game. So he's got good size, gets the shot off. He's played his high school ball in D.C., started, I think, Winnipeg as a Division II college. I think that's where he started his career, then played 2 years at Washington State. He shot 48% from three. One of those 2 years. The other was 43%, and I couldn't quite figure out which one was which. So we'll just say 45% three-point shooter over 2 years at Washington State. That is pretty good. So now you got a wing shooter. You probably hope to get one more. I don't think this was a high price tag. I think it was a pretty good deal, honestly. Then you got a guy with a great nickname. His name is Brandon Cummings. He goes by Biba. Biba Cummings was a Pitt combo guard. I think he can play some point. 6'3", so good size. 12.5 points, 2 assists. He got injured midway through the year, so he didn't finish his year. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left. So in saying all of that, the Tigers did not get their point guard. Rowan Brombaugh, you're still out there. They didn't get the big-name scorer. That could be Brombaugh. That could be somebody else, DJ Wagner, although it looks like he's going to be Philly-bound like Villanova. But who knows? And you didn't get your big man yet. We don't know about Aaron Bradshaw. He's got a week. Whoa, less than a week. I think he's got till next Monday night, is it, that the portal closes? He can't go in? So then he would either have to come back to Memphis or go pro. And I can't imagine he's going pro. So we'll find out in the next few days what he is going to do. And we'll still await, the names that have been out there that we have already talked about, like we talked yesterday with Munsey, Kobe Garland still out there. Maybe that's your point guard. When the Tigers didn't go after Frieson, that says to me, and he went to Wichita State, local kid, and there was a connection with him all throughout here. That says to me they have somebody that they've got in mind, they've talked to, they haven't come to terms yet, but there's somebody they think is above that level that they're getting at the point guard position, or they wouldn't have let that go, I don't think. And I don't think they ever really went after as hard as the early speculation was on Frieson. So we'll wait and see. These things happen quick. The acquisition of Vavers and of Cummings came within an hour. And it came literally about 20 minutes after we had talked to Jason Munns about this very subject. So something big could happen today. Just hold tight. As far as the NBA goes, last night I was talking about how good it was in the West. Portland goes to Phoenix, Denny Adia Avdia, who, by the way, Israeli and Serbian combination, he scored 41. This was his breakout year, 41 points. It sends the Blazers into the playoffs. They now take on the number 7 seed, San Antonio. But they get to the playoffs, and considering where Portland had been the last few years, that is a big upgrade. Then the Suns still are alive because they will take on the winner of tonight's game between the Clippers and Golden State. And then the loser is out. The winner of that game takes on number 1 seed OKC. In the East, Charlotte beat Miami in a thriller, 127-126 in overtime. LaMelo Ball hit the game winner. This comes with about 4.7 seconds left. Then there was a great block on the other end. But the biggest controversy comes after Bam Adebayo blocked LaMelo Ball in the first half. And Ball goes down. As he goes down, he grabs the foot of Adebayo. Adebayo comes down hard, hurts, I think, his hip. He's limping around. He never gets back in the game. Afterwards, Eric Spoelstra says, look, I got to hand it to the Hornets. They played better than we did. We had our chances down the stretch, but we didn't have our best player. Our best player was taken out in the first half on a dirty play that LaMelo Ball should have been ejected. Three referees, he names all three by first name. He doesn't say their last names. All had views. Nobody called it. It's clearly this was a dirty play. Ball, who when he fell, hit his head on the floor, said, I couldn't see anything. I'm just out there flailing. I apologize to Bam Adebayo. I don't really know what happened. I have to go look at it, but I sure hope he's okay. I don't think he gets suspended. I'm sure it will be reviewed. I think he will play because they're still alive. And they take on the winner of Philadelphia and Orlando tonight. Of course, everybody hopes Philly wins because Orlando's losing. Knocks them out of contention and a better opportunity for Memphis in the draft because they've got their pick. So we will wait and see on that. I don't know where Dennis Phillippe's head is at on the Adebayo thing or if he's even going to comment, but he's coming your way in a second. And we are sitting in the floor, the Family Leisure studio, and the last I heard, the floor model sale still going on. Chemical sales happening. And I mean, some of these are big. Like, you can get a case of shock for a shocking price. Can't even say what it is, but it's really good. And if you tell them we sent you, you might get something extra special. Go see Billy, go see Lindsay, go see the chemical people, the Chris there, and there's the lady that is excited about her job. That's the thing. People like being where they are. You'll like being where you are if you go to Family Leisure, I-40 and Witten Road. It is the 101st show of Dennis Phillippe.
It's time for Dennis on Dave. Dennis on Dave.
Welcome to Dennis on Dave. Well,
no special thing for 101?
No.
Could have had 101 deal. Dalmatians or been. Something. Yeah, really.
There's only so much I can ask of Jeff Hewlett for free.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm paying him to do these. LaMelo Ball has always been a dirty player. This is not even the first time that he's tripped Bam Adebayo.
He's not Grayson Allen.
He's done it before. He is a dirty player. Although the phrase LaMelo Ball trips Bam Adebayo just sounds like a random collection of syllables.
It does.
I mean, those are names. LaMelo Ball.
There's some lyrical
Bam Adebayo
thing to that.
I love Bam Adebayo. I really do. And he came down very, very hard on his tailbone because LaMelo's a dirty player. He always has been. He's the leader of Charlotte, which means Charlotte's going nowhere. That's just the way it is. Now, I've been meaning to address this for a while because it's somebody else's idea, but I think it's a pretty great idea to fix the tanking thing is to eliminate the draft altogether.
That's me. I'm saying that.
I love that idea. Just eliminate the draft. Make everybody a free agent.
But you have to have a hard cap in order to do that. And then it becomes pretty equitable because you can only sign 15 guys and you've got X amount of dollars. It's 53% of the revenues.
Yeah.
And that works.
And it
and no one's going to tank because you have no...
There's no advantage.
There's no advantage.
There's no advantage because there won't be any ping pong balls to be losing to get your hands on. Right. I think it's a great idea. I've always been a fan since I heard it, which was just a couple of weeks ago. But since I didn't hear you bring it up, so I heard somebody else bring it up. I'm like, well, that makes perfect sense. Huh.
I've been saying it since the beginning of the tanks.
I can get a sentence out if I try. I haven't ever heard you say it, but I've seen other people say it. I think it's a great idea. And it's like we talked about last week, I think. I do not understand the fascination with the NFL draft. I'm completely baffled by why anybody would feel it's a fun thing to watch.
Because it's the number one most watched, most attended, most passionate sport.
Oh, I know the NFL rules all sports. Granted,
and for that reason, it gets good numbers. I mean, ESPN has how many programs a week on the draft alone?
I just don't care.
Incredible.
But like we talked about, I care who the Saints get. Yeah. You care who the Bears get.
And that's it.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw this, that Kenosha, Wisconsin has thrown their hat in the ring to get the Bears.
To get the Bears.
They're in between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Yeah.
They got just under 100,000 people, but they did it. They're doing a pretty funny campaign.
Well, wait, isn't it Hammond, Indiana? How many people are in Hammond, Indiana?
Well, when you start doing that, you're going to be like, how many people are in Foxborough, Massachusetts? But that's still really Boston. But Kenosha, I just think it's funny that they're doing a nice campaign where they're saying, you know, we're a small town and we could really use a football
team. Well, if you think about it, Levi Stadium outside of San Francisco, that is a long way from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Hammond, Indiana probably would be closer, honestly, to Chicago than Levi Stadium is to San Francisco. I'm not 100% certain. Kenosha's it's a bit of a hike. It's at least from downtown Chicago.
Like
that's got to be an hour.
Without traffic. A little over 50 miles. Anyway, I forgot to say, happy Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, I didn't realize today's Jackie Robinson
Day. And so, odd notes. We talked about this briefly when they first announced it, the enhanced games. This is the idea of this is that it's every athlete is juiced. That's their whole concept is everybody they're carefully monitoring
baseball in the 80s and 90s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're all juiced. They have yet to play a single event of the enhanced games and it's already valued at over $1 billion.
Well, let's go over this again. When are the enhanced games?
I don't know. Nobody knows. They haven't announced a single event yet, and somehow it's valued at $1 billion.
Is there a television network that's picked this up? This is a Joe Dank thing.
I've never heard
of this enhanced games.
Well, we talked about it, a year ago when they announced it. And I thought, okay, that's kind of a funny idea. Go ahead and let everybody get jacked up, and let's see what they could do. If they're going to be a whole bunch of juiced freaks. That sounds like it'd be kind of fun to watch. But somehow it's valued at $1 billion. I got to get this straight. A three-person appeals panel ruled that even though the NFL found that teams were invited to participate in collusion and said that teams' behavior was improper, the league did not conclude. The league said that they did not collude in the contract negotiations with Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray because they had insufficient evidence to prove collusion. So the three-person panel for the NFL said they clearly colluded. Their behavior was improper
to convict,
but we can't do anything about it. And, by the way, those three players, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray, all way overvalued. All three of those players have way more money than they should have.
I would argue with you about Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP.
Yeah, cannot win in the playoffs. I like Lamar. I think he's a fun player, but he hasn't won anything.
See, with a new head coach, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see what happens. When Russell Wilson was in Denver, or after he left Denver, they said that he surrounded himself with an atmosphere of toxic positivity.
He made the most money.
He just had,
for the least.
He just had a bunch of people around him kissing his ass, but I love that phrase, toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Everybody that participated in the Milwaukee Marathon got a medal saying that they participated in the Milwaukee Marathon.
No, they misspelled it?
Every single medal dropped out the vowel. And speaking of marathons, the Taco Bell Marathon is coming to San Diego. This is very exciting.
What happens in this one?
Okay, now first off, it's 31 miles, which is not a marathon.
No, 26.2 would be a marathon.
But it's 31 miles.
How do they get to 31?
I have no idea how they got to that number, unless it has to do with the route, because in the course of the Taco Bell Marathon in San Diego, they have to hit 8 Taco Bells.
There we go.
They have to eat. They have to hit 8 Taco Bells and consume at least 1 Chalupa or Crunchwrap Supreme, 1 Burrito Supreme, and 1 Nacho Bel Grande.
So
while running 31 miles,
oh God,
there's a run pun in here.
There.
Yeah, there's a run pun here. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
they're gonna They're going to be getting in, running into a Taco Bell, going, "I'm in the marathon."
So wait. Wait. How many stops do they have to make?
They have to hit 8 Taco Bells.
But they have to eat three times.
They have to eat at least three of the marquee entrees.
I would think.
I don't know. You're burning a lot of calories running 31 miles, dude.
Yeah. And God, can you imagine? The Chalupa? Come on. That's a lot there.
My wife ran a half marathon like 15 years ago, and it boggled my mind. We live in Midtown. And my wife would get up while she was training. She'd get up on a Saturday morning and run to the river and back.
Yeah.
I said, "Who? What? No thanks. I generally only run if I'm chased."
She never had a Taco Bell taco during
this. No, not in that process. The August 11th White Sox game against the Reds was supposed to feature a limited edition Pope hat. Like the first 1,500 people, it's Chicago.
Yeah,
they're doing a game to honor the Pope, who's of course from Chicago.
Right.
And so they were going to do like the first 1,500 people get a Pope hat.
A Pope hat.
A Pope hat. Pope hat.
I thought you were saying Pope
hat. No, a Pope hat. A taper, if you will. I think that's what it's called. So they were going to do like 1,500. The demand was so outrageous, so huge to get tickets to this game. Everybody who goes to the game is getting a Pope hat.
Wow.
So the entire stadium is going to be filled with people wearing Pope hats.
That is great.
I love it. I can't wait to see this. It's on August 11th.
Wouldn't it be great if the White Sox themselves came out in a Pope hat?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Least just to... I don't know. You couldn't do make a batting helmet that way. You can't do that.
Have somebody come out in a Pope. They have a modified Pope mobile for when the reliever comes out. I like that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. The Dallas Wings.
Wait, is Donald Trump coming to that game?
Moving on. The Dallas Wings selected Azzie Fudd, number one, the WNBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
She's
great player.
And normally, of course, this time of year, Fudd would be busy wabbit hunting. That was seriously low-hanging fruit,
that was
but
terrible.
I couldn't resist it.
And
once again, Rory McIlroy did not speak with his playing partner during the final round of the Masters. He was playing with Cameron Young. You remember last year he was paired with Bryson DeChambeau, who was bent out of shape that Rory didn't talk to him the entire round because, you know, Rory was busy trying to win the Masters. He didn't talk to Young.
Never said a word to Cameron Young?
He didn't say a word to Cameron Young. You know who was bent out of shape about him not talking to Cameron Young? Bryson DeChambeau.
Again, he said something?
Couldn't let it go. Had to say, oh, there it is again. There it is again. He didn't talk to Young. He didn't say one word to Young the entire round, just like he didn't say one word to me during the final round last year. You know who didn't care? Young. Because Young was busy trying to play in the Masters.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau is kind of a punk. And LaMelo Ball's a dirty player. And,
DeChambeau... I've never seen a guy come undone the way he did in missing.
I can't stand him
missing a sand shot. It just blew him away. It was terrible, unreal.
Oh, and Frankie Muniz, who used to star in Malcolm in the Middle and is now starring in the reboot of Malcolm in the Middle, crashed the Malcolm in the Middle truck in the NASCAR Truck Series. He he was driving the truck to promote his own series and crashed it.
How bad?
Pretty badly, but he's okay. But he has been a pretty serious race car driver since Malcolm in the Middle ended. That's been, although he had a bad wreck.
And I never watched Malcolm in the Middle.
I've seen a couple of episodes. It's the Brian, what's his name? Brian Cranston? The star of Breaking Bad.
Oh,
was the father on it.
So really?
It was a funny show.
I love Brian Cranston.
It was a funny show. But anyway, he was a pretty serious race car driver. I hate the truck series because they're not trucks. The bed's covered. If you're going to have a truck series, I want them to be trucks. I want them to be actual pickup trucks. I think it'd be a lot more fun.
They wouldn't go as fast.
Oh, the golf ball thing. Have you seen this? That some of the elder statesmen of golf are talking about rolling back golf balls.
Oh, they've been talking about that for years. And in particular, they've been talking about it at Augusta.
Because
Augusta lengthened the golf course so much this time. Like, you couldn't get 13 and 15 automatic eagles because it was a little harder to get to. So I don't know that they need to do that. But you know who started that a long time ago? Jack Nicklaus. And he's right. You know, the course they are playing this week at Harbortown is a little over 7,100 yards. That now is considered about as short a course as you can have.
It's not unheard of to modify technology, to back up technology. Look at restrictor plate racing in NASCAR. It's just because cars got too fast.
Yeah.
And when you've got four guys going in door to door on a turn, you're going to have a wreck every time if they're going 205 miles an hour.
And when you've got golf courses that are built to be about 72 to 7,400 yards, and these guys can play at 8,000 yards now. I mean, they're playing a 545-yard par four that they can get to with a 7-iron. It's ridiculous. So they got to do something about that, eventually.
I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea.
No, and most of the time they are saying this would only be for the pros. They would only use them in PGA Tour events. Guys like me could still use the.
So you
the
can cheat.
Yes. Well, cheat. I don't know if that would be called. We are aided by technology. They would no longer be.
I like the idea.
I'm okay with it.
And let's eliminate the NBA draft.
And I'm glad you finally came. Somebody's finally come on board with me. On this one.
Thank I didn't realize goodness. I was coming on board with you, but okay.
102 next week. I look forward to that. And in part, our friend Dennis is brought to you by the sweetest thing there is. That's Dinstals. And guess what, folks? I told you last week the chocolate-covered strawberries won their tournament. The best product that they – or the most fan-favorite product that they have. So they put a special on that last week just because it won. They sold out. So you know what they're doing? They're giving you that special price again today through Saturday. While they last, you can get the 2026 Sweet Champion of the World chocolate-covered strawberries at this low discounted price. So hurry. You don't want to miss this sweet taste of spring. You can stop by Dinstal, any of the Dinstals, and you can pick them up at either where they make it. That's Pleasant View, my neck of the woods, Laurelwood. You can get them in the burbs. That's Germantown and Collierville. You can even get it downtown. The sweetest thing there is Dinstals, and they got that special price. That is on the chocolate-covered strawberries. The way Dinstals does it, nobody else does. And a special reminder, next week, it is Administrative Professional Week. You know, that's another thing. I hate it when they go do that. It was okay to say secretary. I didn't know anybody that felt degraded by being secretary. Now you can't even say secretary's week.
They say admin.
Well, administrative professionals week is how I saw the copy. But we can go that way. We got to take a break. When we come back, the business of sports. That's Joe Dank on the deck. He's next.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Hey, maybe some animal take things over.
We're about to talk some business of sports with our general manager from 24 and 30, retired now, producer and director of many a sports television broadcast, Joe Dank, and he's brought to you in part by Southern Security. Seven locations, not a bank, so they can give you rates, they can do things that normal banks cannot get. And I ask you, are you getting the best possible rate on your mortgage? At Southern Security, they offer the lowest rates. I've explained why. They're not a bank. They're nonprofit. Flexible terms, no PMI, unbeatable service. You can refinance your current mortgage with the best mortgage lender so easily by going online at southernsecurity.org or by calling and talking to a human being at this number, 901-452-7900. Southern Security is an equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA. They've been the best credit union in the last 6 years, working on seven. They are Southern Security. Your home team credit union. We travel the country with Joe Dank standing by. Good morning, Joe. The NBA play-ins began last night. My goodness. They were well attended, and they were really well played, hard played. It's amazing when there's meaning to something. So how was NBA attendance during this year of the tank? How was it? Who had the most? Who had the least? Good morning.
Good morning, David. Yes, it was great watching last night. It was a new sport, and it was good to see after basically 6 weeks of all-star level intensity. So last night was refreshing. Look, attendance this year completes a three-year run that's the best in the history of the league. The NBA drew more than 22 million fans this year. That's an average of 18,100 per game.
Wow.
In all of the arenas. So this is, it was the product had problems, not reflected, however, at the box office, which
I think
which
that's,
is very interesting.
Yeah, I think that is definitely worthy of note. This was the year where 10 teams tanked at least a third of the year, and yet 18,100 on average showed up every night. It's showing you that at least at this moment, the association is bulletproof.
Well, and as you say, so 10 teams tanked. Here's a flip side to that coin. 11 teams, 11 of the 30, sold out every single game.
Wow. 11 sold out every game.
Mm. Yep.
Who had
now,
the best?
The story, unfortunately, the story here, not as good.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies were down 7.9% versus last year. That was the biggest drop of any team. The Grizzlies were the only team in the NBA, in fact, to average under 16,000 fans per game. So we just said there was 18,100 was the league average. Grizzlies averaged 15,400. That's the worst in the league.
So that's 3,000 really below the average crowd.
Yeah, almost 3,000. That's less than, you know, they're 15% off the league average. And as we said, they dropped 7.9% versus last year. One of the things I like to track is what are comparable markets in the NBA? We talk about market rank. Memphis is the 51st DMA in the country. You know, the best point of comparison becomes New Orleans because New Orleans is 50. New Orleans and Memphis have some distinct similarities, and the Pelicans this year averaged 16,400 per game. So,
just
1,100 more, yeah. 1,100 more per game in New Orleans than Memphis.
Let me
all know what happened.
Let's look at a team, not a major market, but clearly a tanking team. Because that would turn me off more than anything else. Not trying to get better, not playing your better players, putting injuries out there that, you know, you question, like elbows. Not getting a big man. How did Utah do? Because they were clearly tanking as well. They're a little bigger market than Memphis, but not a major market. So what did Utah do? I don't know if you have that in front of you.
So Utah did a total of 727,000 fans. And Memphis, to get that average, it did 632,000. So Utah drew about 100 100,000 fans more. Hmm. Actually, yeah, 100,000 more. Divided by 40, so, you know, yeah, that becomes, 2,000 fans a game. So, you know, that's here's one. You want to talk about a team that wasn't in good. I mean, look, Dallas won on Sunday to finish one game above the Grizzlies, right?
Right.
The Mavericks this year played at more than 100% capacity. Sheesh. For all of their home games. Now, wow, they didn't sell out every home game, but they sold standing room only tickets on certain nights, and that was big enough to put them over the 100% of their capacity mark. So they're a team that averaged over 18,000 fans. So it just shows that in the case of Cooper Flagg, drove some ticket sales there as well. Yeah. Remember, they were a big story a year ago when they gave up and waved the flag and sent Luka away. They were playing for they were certainly in this tanking mode, right? And the Grizzlies somehow overcame them on the last day because the Mavs went out and beat the Bulls.
Who was in the Grizzlies' neighborhood? Who was at the bottom? I'm assuming Memphis was last place.
Yeah, so the bottom five would be this: the Grizzlies, the Wizards, Kings, Hawks, and Pelicans, in that order. So, you know, that's the nature of it, and that's the challenge. It's the challenge because of the market rank. And now you put two things together. The next couple of years is the rebuild. It doesn't necessarily portend higher attendance in any way, shape, or form, unless something really unique and interesting happens in terms of the draft lottery, and you really move up in it and get a really high-profile guy and fix this thing quicker than anticipated. But, you know, you do have two significant issues affecting the team, and one is going to be attendance. The second is going to be a local TV package, because as we know, the FanDuel package has gone away. They're working to do something else, but, you know, you are not going to be making local TV dollars in the 51st DMA comparable to where most of the teams are, and that's in top 30 markets. So they have big challenges.
Well, I think
anybody, just an interesting reality.
Anybody that was a mid-market that was on a regional network is not going to get the kind of rights fees on their local package that they've been getting. I think everybody's going to get hurt, not just Memphis, but they are going to get hurt significantly because we had that number before. It was surprisingly high. They're certainly not going to get that money.
Right. Look, it does hurt everybody. It does, however, hurt others more than some.
Yeah. Speaking of TV, not necessarily money here, but ability to watch. You had to have Prime last night to watch the NBA playoffs. I know they're going to go back to over-the-air network and, of course, ESPN, the best cable opportunity. And that's what's coming up. But these play-in games are all on Prime. How's this working out?
Yeah, so the play-in is exclusively on Prime. That's this week. That's just there's two more games tonight and then two games on Friday to determine who's actually in the playoffs. Once we get to the first and second rounds, you know, NBC is a new player this year in the rotation. And NBC is going to have 28 games in the first and second rounds. 18 games will be on ABC and ESPN, and the rest of those will be on Prime. Once we get to conference finals this year, David, NBC has the Western Conference Finals, and then ABC and ESPN has the Eastern Conference Finals. And, of course, the finals stay on ABC and will be on ABC. But think about this for a second. The playoffs started last night. It was April 14th. If we have a Game 7 of the finals, it'll be played on June 19th.
Wow.
So this is not going to be over anytime soon.
Almost in time for the All-Star break in baseball. Crazy.
Isn't it something?
Oh, my gosh. It is really. Look, if the NFL expands anymore and keeps double buys, oh, my gosh. That's a long season. These seasons are getting longer and longer. Maybe that's why we've got injuries like we have got. The Masters. I know you loved the advertising that was from the Bank of America. I got to tell you. So I'm going to let everybody know, these were the spots where they had kids reenacting great moments in the Masters. You had Jack winning in 86. You had Bubba Watson's crazy shot on 10. You had a kid who was a left-hander doing that, and then you had McIlroy's miraculous 5-iron on 15 just a year ago when he won his first Masters that got him the career Grand Slam. Here's the problem I have, a couple, and I think they were great. They were my favorites, okay, Joe? But one, I don't think a lot of people knew what the heck they were doing there. Two, I didn't remember till you told me it was Bank of America who the sponsor was.
That's always an interesting thing, and that often happens when people, make commercials specifically designed. A lot of times I've done what you just described with people, asking them what their favorite Super Bowl commercial would be, and they would describe it, and then I would say, who was the advertiser? And they would say, I don't remember. So you wonder how effective that is. What was interesting about these spots, even beyond that, is not only was Bank America the sponsor, but it was really promoting a youth golf program that is called Golf With Us. And this program allows young kids to play for basically free who are getting into the golf game. And this is a program put on by an organization called Youth on Course. And I looked today, and this program is available here in Memphis at all of the public links courses. And the green fees there are free. So that's what this was. This was a great promo for a youth golf program and a great, unbelievable production, I thought. Just really a neat idea. And they did stick out, and it was really something. Here's something else that stuck out that I didn't have when we talked earlier this morning, but I have now. Sunday, 14 million people watched the final round.
How many?
It peaked 14 million.
Wow.
It peaked at 20 million at 5:45 p.m., obviously the final quarter hour of the telecast when it was being decided. That's up 8% over last year. It's the most watched Masters final round since 2015. Do you remember who won in 2015, David?
Tiger Woods?
Nope. Jordan Spieth won that
Jordan Spieth in 15. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Big
number.
So you're talking about the biggest number in 11 years. Between there, Tiger Woods won his fifth green jacket. I'm surprised that wasn't bigger, which tells
you. You remember that day, the day that Tiger won?
Yeah.
They played in the morning. They played in the morning because of the
weather.
Bad weather coming. And so that ended before that telecast ended not long later than when the telecast was supposed to begin. It only did 7 million viewers.
Wow. 14 million. You know what? That tells you golf is going to survive the post-Tiger Phil Mickelson era quite well. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy are obviously draws. That is fantastic news. What was the name of the youth program that the Bank of America commercials were about?
It's called Golf With Us.
Golf With Us.
And it's Bank of America sponsoring the program in conjunction with a group called Youth on Course.
I'm going to ask Mickey Barker, the czar of public golf, all about that in just a minute. Always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy chatting with you. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
Thank you, David.
All right, thank you. That is Joe Denk, former GM of 24 and 30. On the business of sports, he's brought to you by Shell Dunn. And, Joe's got strategy when we do the show. He looks up numbers. He thinks in depth about things. And he's letting us know about the marketplace. That's exactly what Shell Dunn Rosengarten does every day for you when it comes to real estate. He is your top golfer. He understands every golf course. He understands every neighborhood. Why? He studies it. And for over 40 years now, he's put together a strategic marketing program that no one, I think, can top. Go check it out yourself. Go to MemphisRelocate.com. See what people are saying about him. And then just say to yourself, I want the guy that can really get me to the closing table the quickest and getting the most money for what I have. And he does it. He's been doing it so long. So he'll tell you, talk to two or three real estate brokers. Just make sure he's one of them. Let him look your situation over. Let him tell him about your strategy. And then away you will go. MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. He can't golf with a lick because he's working for you, selling your home. Sheldon with Mark's Mensdorf. We take the quick timeout. Greg Hines, Johnny Lyons, Mickey Barker. We make picks of Harbortown in just a minute.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Unlock your new go-to spot.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome back in. Golf pick time. Discussion about golf. We've got the gang all here from Windyke. Greg Hines is here. Johnny Lyons from the Blazer Company, the best blazers in the business. You can get them from Johnny Lyon. And then there's the czar of Memphis Public Golf. That would be Mickey Barker, who had a bad week. He's not a czar of picks. That would be Greg Hines, who, by the way, with his second pick, picked Rory McIlroy. He had Cam Young. He is the leader. He'll go last today. He made $5,701,500 last week. Johnny second, $2,927,250. Wallow third, $731,250. Mickey $679,500. So that is our order. Let me start with just talking about the Masters itself. Greg Hines, your quick thoughts since you are our winner. You had Rory and the repeat.
I mean, I thought it was a great Masters. Kind of nice of Rory to let everybody back in at Saturday, so it was so much fun to watch on Sunday, right? You know, so, what a difference getting your driver in play on Sunday made for him. Yeah. He didn't have to scramble as much and got it in play for really the first time all week. But it was fun. You know, after he won last year, I said, I think he's going to go on a tear and win, you know, four of the next 8 to 10 majors. And, you know, then he kind of went off the deep end. But he looks like he's got his focus back.
He sure looks like he's only 36, about to be 37. He could win three or four more green jackets, I would have to believe. Johnny Lyons, we had the highest television ratings since 15, so they are compelling. And part of that is Scottie Scheffler, the number one player of the world, who did something I never thought I would see after just terrible play on the first 2 days. He did not have a bogey on the weekend. That seems impossible, but that's what Scheffler did, Johnny.
Yeah, Scotty played great. The Friday round was threw him off a little bit, shooting two over. And after the tournament, he said that he thought that the people at Augusta had done something to the greens, either sucked all the moisture out or put too much water on them.
Well, they put a bunch of water on them on Friday because they were so hard to play Thursday. He felt the morning group got the advantage that played Thursday morning and Friday afternoon. They didn't get the bad, tough times.
Yep. Good up. Yeah. I thought Scotty played great, and I enjoyed watching the tournament. And I heard before on your other interview, it was like 20 million people watching. So,
yeah,
very well attended, huh? Yeah.
Most since 15. Mickey Barker, along the lines of the setup, you know, everybody was worried they got to make it longer. And Phil Mickelson, from a distance, because he wasn't there, was complaining they make it too long, and you didn't have the Eagles on 13 and 15 with gambling that really makes this the most unique of all of the majors. Did you agree with him? What did you think of the setup?
Well, I never agree with Mickelson, so we can make that clear right off the bat. But no, I didn't think so. I think that, you know, like Justin Rose was able to turn it around the corner and hit an iron in, and obviously Rory hit 8-iron in on Sunday. So that wasn't an issue going for the green. You know, Scheffler talked about the mud balls, and that's always been a case that talked about, you know, kind of underneath their breath a little bit. And if you're a Masters champion, you can talk a little more openly. But that affected him some, you know, especially on Friday. So I don't think the setup is wrong. I like the lengthening. I think it was perfect this week.
But by the way, while I got you, tell me a little bit about, I know you filed for, and I think you got approval now, of the Audubon Clubhouse. I saw that in the news the last couple of days in both of the papers. What's going on? When will you break ground on that new clubhouse that is also going to be a shared space with, I'm trying to remember the exact name.
First Tee. We're still on schedule to break ground late this spring, early summer, 12 to 13, 14 month build. So opening sometime in 2027. So we're right on track. We've been going through designs. We get the finalized design this week. So we'll know exactly what everything's going to look like, hopefully. But yeah, we're right on track.
All right. And I have to ask you about the youth program that was beautifully advertised. I love those Bank of America spots with the reenactment of Jack and of Bubba and of McElroy's big shots. Is that for public golf? Have you got one of those Golf with Us programs coming to Memphis Golf?
We do. Yeah, we've been members of Youth on Course for a few years now. They're just calling it a little bit different with the Golf with Us. That's fairly new. But Youth on Course, we've been members of that and have several kids that take advantage of it. Of course, most times we're free for all junior golfers under 17 and under anyway.
Right.
So it really didn't make a big difference. But the kids can, once they join, they can play at a really discounted rate all over the country. So it's a great program. And I love that you know, this major bank is getting behind
it. Yeah, no doubt. Greg Hines, I thought the one guy I was really pulling hard for was Justin Rose. Rosie had his chances. He kind of blew it on the 12th when he flubbed a chip and then three-putted after he got on 13 in two. Do you think he wins a major? He's 45 years old now.
Man, I don't know. I love his game. I love his attitude. I love his temperament. But, boy, that three-putt on 13 changed everything, didn't it?
It did.
No doubt about it. But, it's hard to say no. He's always there. He's a top 10 guy in every major. So, I mean, it's just maybe a few swings and a few putts here and there falling. I think he may get one still.
I hope so. I really do like him, and I wanted him to get the green jacket. And he's had chances the last few years. He just kind of fell apart on the back nine on Sunday. It happens to just about every player.
It doesn't seem like his game's waning, though. He seems like he's in stellar shape.
I agree with that. Johnny Lyons, there are three majors to be played. Who are you sure will win one of those?
I have to go with Scotty to win one.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about Rosie. Nobody picked him in our picks, you know.
Right.
He was the one that I wished I'd have picked the most because he came out playing great, and he is a lot of fun to watch. I do think he will win a Masters one of these days.
I hope so. I really do. All right, let's get picks before we run out of time. Greg Hines, you are last now. Mickey Barker. I can't believe Mickey Barker is in this position going first. Wow.
He only won by like $10 million over us last year, didn't he?
I know it.
Well, I will never make the mistake of not picking Scheffler when I have the chance to pick him. So I will pick Scottie Scheffler for my first pick.
All right, so I go second. I'm going to take the guy that had a good chance. Really big stages. One of the players just couldn't get it done up against Rory. I'm going to go with Cam Young. So that means, Johnny, you're next.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, you guys took the absolute favorites. I'm going to have to take a little bit of a long shot. I'm going to go with Xander.
Not exactly a long shot. He's third on the power rankings. Nice try. All right, Greg.
All right. I love the way he played the whole Masters week, and I just think he's getting better and better on tour, and he might be a guy to win a major, Sam Burns.
He can putt. He can flat-out putt. That there's no doubt about that. That brings us back to you, Mickey.
Well, one of Scheffler's good friends, and he played. I thought he had a real chance on the back nine Sunday, but Russell Henley.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll tell you a guy that I'm going to take. I'm not a real big fan of him. He just takes so dang long. He plays really well at Harbortown. He seems to be finding his form. I'm going to go with Patrick Cantlay. Johnny?
Okay, let's see here. I'm going to take Jordan Spieth just because I like him. Okay. I hope he wins.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick at all. He's going to win once this year, I think. Greg?
Oh, man. I am. I just think he's always played well here. Justin Thomas.
Okay. JT down on the list. Last pick for Mickey.
You know, you're always told to beware of the injured golfer or the sick golfer.
Oh, you're going Morikawa. You're going Morikawa.
Yeah. My goodness, he played so good, and he barely could get around the golf course. Now he's going to have a flat golf course to walk. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Colin.
All right. Tommy Fleetwood is out there. But I think Tommy Fleetwood's – I don't know what's happening. I think he's slipping a little bit, and I love him. I'm going to go with the guy that I always go with that never comes through for me. This is the week for Ludvig Åberg. Johnny?
Okay. Let's see. We're going to try a guy we've never picked before. Yella Maraju.
Oh, I saw him. Yeah. All right. You've got him. Last pick, Greg. Quickly, we're out of time.
I will take Daniel Berger.
Daniel Berger. Wow. I did not see that one coming. Okay, so Scotty, Henley, Morikawa for Mickey, Cameron Young, Patrick Cantlay, Åberg for me, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Meriju, or whatever his name is for Johnny, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger for Greg. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Willow. Good picks, Greg. Thank you.
All these picks brought to you by the good folks at Memphis Public Links. You heard about the Audubon. You heard about all the redos that are so good. Memphis as a city is better when you have great public amenities. Golf is an amenity. Mickey Barker, that crew understood it. They've made Memphis City Golf great. Go check them out. Tell them we sent you. That'll do it for us. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. Johnny Radio, I think he's back. He's healthy. He's next.